I'm sorry, one second. You have to have at least one person remaining in the chabura. Whereas according to the chachamim, so the halacha is, so they say that, no, that everyone can back out of the chabura, that's not a problem. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Okay. Then the Mishnah told us, nimnin umoshchen es yedei anache yishachit. We said, again, we presented the machlokas in the Mishnah, until what point can you back out of the karban? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can back out, I'm sorry, according to the Tanakhama, you can back out until Shchita. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can back out until Zrika. So Amar Abaye Machlokas Limash. I'm sorry, what?
If everybody backs out, that carbon has already been designated as a carbon Pesach.
Yeah, so, well.
What do they do with it?
They probably have to burn the carbon. They probably have to, yeah, because you can't, because you can't have a non-registered group use the carbon. So you probably either have to give it as a shlamim and you have to burn it. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Machlokas Limashich. The Rabbanan Savre, Mihi Yos Miset, Mechayuse Deset, the Rab Shimon Savre, Mehavayase Deset. Avalimanos Divrei Akolache Yishachi, the Amar Krabbe Mechsas Nefashos Hadar Tachosu. So the Gemara says that this Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rab Shimon about until what point can you back out of the Karban, that's only in terms of backing out. Because the Rabbanan, in other words, it's a Machlokas how to interpret the Pasuk and Parshas Bo that says Mihi Yos Miset. According to the Tanakhama, Mihi Yos Miset means Mechayuse Deset. You can back out as long as the animal is alive. In other words, before the Shchita. Whereas according to Rav Shimon, it means mehafa yase to say you can back out as long as you're still engaged in the process of the karban, which includes up to the zrika. But in terms of until what point you can register for the karban in the first place, everyone agrees you can only register until the moment of shchita, because the pasuk says the word tachosu. Tachosu comes from the Aramaic word nachas, which means to shech. So you can only register for the karban until the moment of shchita. Tani nami hachi nimnenu moshchen as yeden mimenu ad sheyishachet. Rabbi Shimon omer nimnen. In fact, that's what the Braisa says, that everyone agrees that in terms of registering for the Karban, you can only do so until the moment of Shchita, but in terms of backing out of the Karban, that's the Machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Tanaka. Okay. Then the Mishnah tells us, HaMemana Imo Acher Bechelko, Rashoin Menei Chavura Liten Loes Shalo, V'hu Ochel Mishalo, V'hein Ochlin Mishalohen. Let's say you already have your Chabura, you have your, I don't know, your 10 guys in the group, and then one of the guys says, you know what, I have a friend who I want to give some of the meat of the Karban to. So the Mishnah says that the guy is allowed to do that. The only thing is that he can't take more meat from the karban than he originally signed up for. So in other words, the other 9 guys in the group who are not bringing friends along, they're not obligated to give the 11th guy more meat. The 10th guy who is signed up for the group can give from his own meat to the 11th guy if he wants to, but they're not obligated to give the rest of the meat to this other guy. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Iboya lehu, b'nei chavura shehayu yadav shel echad mehen yafos, mahu sheyomru lo tol chelkech av etzei. Mi amrinan matzei amar lehu ha-kabiltun, o dilma matzu lemeimar leki kablina lesikune zvicha daita da'achal tfei minan lo kablinach. So now the Gemara raises the following question. So now we have a case where it's not that you're bringing another guy into the chavura, but rather you have your 10 guys signed up. It happens to be that one of the 10 guys, you know, likes to eat a lot. So one of the 10 guys eats far more than anyone else in the chabura. So the question is, do we have the right to protest? Do we have the right to say to him, listen, you know, I know you normally eat a lot, but, you know, for these purposes, you have to eat the same as everybody else. Or maybe no, the guy can turn around and say, listen, you knew what you were getting yourself into when I signed up for the chabura. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Tashma, ha-memana achirim imo al-chalko rasho menei chavura liten lo es-shalo v'uocha le-shalo v'en ochle ne-shalohen mai taima lav mishum dahavi le-ki odayim shalecha mehen yafos v'isal kadaitach yodav yafos. So the Gemara suggests that the answer to this question should be found in our Mishnah. The reason why in our Mishnah the 11th guy who was never signed up for the chabura, the reason why he can only get meat from the guy who was already there, and in other words, we don't give him new meat, is presumably because it's almost like he's taking more away. In other words, maybe halachically he's the equivalent of the guy who eats more than everybody else. So in other words, just as in that case we say that the 11th guy is not entitled to his own meat, perhaps here too, if you have a guy who's part of the chabura but eats far more than anybody else, perhaps he too should not be entitled to any more meat. To which the Gemara says, no, Amrei lo, deo shiny, the Nami travayu kechamu nechavuru hu daachle matziyamri ledelo nechalon inish nuchra gaba. The Gemara says, no, it's not a good comparison, because you can make the argument that at least in the case of the guy who eats more than everyone else, okay, so again, the people knew what they were getting themselves into. In the case of the 11th guy that you want to bring in, he was never signed up in the first place. We never agreed to have this guy here, so it could very well be that there's a big distinction between these two cases. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, Hashamish Achal Kizayis Basar Bitsar Hatanur Im Haya Pikeach Mamali Kristo Mimenu Im Ratu Benechavura Lasos Tova Imo Bain Vyoshin Bitsido Vaochlin Divre Rabbi Huda Ratsu Inlo Ratsu Lo Vyamai Nemeluhu Hakabilton. So the Gemara says the following. Let's say you have a guy who's a waiter who's serving people who are partaking of the Karban Pesach. So and let's say he gets his Kizayis of meat next to an oven. So the Gemara says, if the guy's smart, so what he'll do is he'll stuff his face, he'll eat all of his meat by the oven. But if the other members of the Chabura want to come and move to where he's sitting, they can do so if they want to, according to Rabbi Huda. So the question is, the Gemara asks, why do we only say that the other members of the Chabura can move to the guy if they want to, implying that if they don't want to, then the waiter is stuck. He has to either eat with them or he has to go off by the oven and eat. In other words, why can't the waiter turn around to the other people and say, you accepted me as part of the Chabura knowing that I was a waiter, so so now it's your responsibility to move to where I am. So the Gemara says, no, shiny hasam da amri leki kablinach adaita de nitrachach kamad lemitra lon ledidach lo kablinach, because the people in the Chabura can simply say to him, we only accepted you as part of the Chabura to be a waiter. We didn't want to inconvenience ourselves to have you in the Chabura. We were more than happy to have you in the Chabura at your own expense, but to then have us inconvenienced and then move to the kitchen and eat with you as you're serving, that was never part of the deal. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tashma, b'nei chavura shehaya yadav shel echad mehen yafos, rashoyin lomar tol chelka chavitzei, v'lo woda la afilu chamisha v'asu siboles, rashoyin lomar lo tol chelka chavitzei. Shma mina. So the Gemara says, like this, that if you have members of the Chabura partaking of a karban, and again, one of the members eats more than everybody else, so the people in the Chabura can say to the guy, take your portion of the karban and leave and go. And similarly, the Gemara says, not only that, but even if you have five people who are not eating the karban Pesach, they're just having a regular meal together, just a stam meal in the middle of the week, they're having a meal together. So if one of the guys eats more than everybody else, it's the same thing. You could tell them, take your share and leave the meal. So this seems to answer our question, right? In other words, again, our original question was, do I have the right to tell the guy who eats more than everyone else to not take more? The answer is yes. The answer is you'd say to him, take your share take your share of meat and get out of here. So the Gemara asks, my veloot, why does the Gemara quote this additional case of people eating a regular meal together? So the Gemara says, lo mi boya kamar, lo mi boya pesach, dematze amri leki kablinach lisakune zvicha, ela afilu sibolas nami, ditzav saba almahu, rasha in lomar lo tochel kachavitze. So the first version of the Gemara is that even in a case where they're just simply sharing a meal together, they're not partaking of a Karban Pesach, they're not in the process of doing a mitzvah, so they still have the right to say to the guy who eats more than everyone else to take your share and leave. Then the Gemara says, Iko Damre, Holo Iboyalon, Elohachi Hudi Iboyalon. This was the Gemara's question. B'nei Chavura Rashoin Lechaleko Inan Rashoin Lechalek. The question is, what is the halacha regarding members of the Chabura? Do they have the right to break off? Do they have the right to say, in other words, let's say 10 guys signed up for the Chabura, and then they say, you know what, we want to go our separate ways, we want to go eat our meat in different locations. Do they have the right to do that? So the Gemara says, Tashma, b'nei chavura shehayu yadav shel echad mehen yafos rashoi lomar lo tol chelka chavitzei yadav yafos in yadav yafos lo shma mina. The Gemara says the implication is that only if you have a case of a guy who eats more than everyone else, then you can force him to take his meat and leave, implying that if everyone in the chabura eats the same amount or eats at a normal pace, then you have no right to do that and you have to eat as part of a chabura together. You can't just break off for no reason and go eat somewhere else. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yehoshua arivu rifta b'hadeh hadadi. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna were eating bread together. By the time Rav Huna finished one loaf or one slice of bread, Rav Papa was already on his fourth. We know from the Gemara's in Bava Metzia and other places that Rav Papa was an extremely heavy set person. So he was eating a lot. He ate four times the amount of Rav Huna. So Amar Le Plagli. So Rav Huna said, split the bread with me. Give me some of the bread. Why are you eating everything? So Amar Le, he said, no, Kabilton. He says, it's your problem. You knew what you were getting yourself into when you invited me over for a meal. So he says, no, I'm going to eat as much as I want. So the Gemara says, "Aseve kolhani tiyufta v'shani kedeshanina." So Rav Huna asked Rav Papa all the questions that we just raised from all the previous prices. He says, "What about all the halachos of the Karban Pesach? And what about the guys who are sharing the meal together?" So every time Rav Papa deflected him and said, "No, those are unique situations that we already explained earlier in the Gemara." But then the Gemara says, "Aseve b'nei chavura." Then he asked him, "What about the case of the guys who are just eating the who are partaking of the Karban Pesach?" Amar le, "No, hasam da amri le ki kablinach l'sikunei zvicha." He says, "No, again, Karban Pesach is different because, in other words, there you could argue that when they invited the guy who eats more than everyone else, they did that because they knew they wanted to finish all the meat of the karban. So perhaps that's different than just a regular meal. Then the Gemara says, "Esti vesi bolas plagle." Then the Gemara says that finally Rav Huna finally got Rav Papa with the brisa about the regular meal. In other words, there's no mitzvah in the case where the five guys are sharing a regular meal, and yet the brisa still says that you could tell the guy who's eating more than everyone else to take his food and to leave. So then finally Rav Papa conceded and he split the food with Rav Huna. Then the Gemara says, "Azal arif bahadi ravina."
When they're talking and telling this guy take his food and leave, does that just mean leave? He's not supposed to leave the house.
Well, I mean, it sounds like, well, that's what the Gemara sounded like earlier, but I think the simple shot is just that he has to take a normal amount of food as opposed to, the double the amount that everyone else takes, I think. That's probably what it means, yeah. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Azal Arab Bahadi Ravina, Ada Acher Ravuna Bere de Rav Yehoshua, Ada Acher Ravina Tamani. So in this story, now Ravuna is eating with Ravina, and Ravina, by the time Ravuna ate one piece of bread, Ravina ate eight pieces. So he was eating even double of Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, Amar Mea Papi Velochada Ravina. So Rav Huna commented at the story. He said, I'd rather have 100 Rav Papas and not one Ravina, because Ravina, again, ate twice as much as Rav Papa did. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, Hamemana Acherim Imo Al Pisho Vel Chagigaso, Maos Shabiyado Chulen. The Gemara says the following. Let's say you register other people to partake of your Karban Pesach or your Karban Chagiga. So the money that you take from them when they sign up for the Karban is considered Chulin, has no Kedusha. However, if you go ahead and sell an animal which was designated as an Ola or a Shlamim, that's a meaningless act. But the money that you gave is going to have to be given as an Adava, as a voluntary, to use to purchase voluntary karbanos that are used in the Pesach Mikdash, that are used to offer on the Mizbech. So the Gemara asks, v'chi me'acher de lo'asa v'lo klum mo'osa ma'yip l'nadava. But if you just told me that the act of selling an Ola or Shlamim is meaningless, that it's not an effective sale, then why are you taking the money and giving it for the sake of voluntary karbanos? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava kinasar. I says, no, it was simply a penalty, midrabanan, to dissuade you from doing so in the future. Umay kol shehen, af agav de lo'havu shavu ela arba v'yohavu le'chamisha, afilu behahiya serenami. Now the Gemara says, even if the discrepancy is relatively minute, even if, let's say, the animal was worth four and you took five coins, let's say, so even in that case, Chazal are going to penalize you for what you did. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Ula v'itemer Rav Oshia, Efshir yadi chavrin bavloi taima dahay milsa. Perhaps our colleagues in Bavel know the reason behind the following halacha. Ze hifrish tala lefischo v'ze hifrish ma'os lefischo. Heich hektish chalal hektish de katani ma'os shebiyado chulin. Let's say, for example, you have a lamb or a kid or whatever it was, an animal that was designated for the Karban Pesach. You have another person who goes ahead and sets aside money for the Karban Pesach. So the question is, how does that money take effect on the animal? Because once the animal has kedusha, you can't superimpose more kedusha upon the animal, right? So the Gemara says, how then is hektesh going to then take effect on top of the on top of the animal that already has kedusha? So Amar Abaye, you love the Okmi Rav Oshia lehahi b'memana zona al pischo v'rebi hava mukmino lo lehahi b'kachim kalim ba'aliba de Rav Yosia galili d'amar kachim kalim mamun b'ilim hu avo b'fesach lo meshayer inish b'mos vaday meshayer inish de meikara ki mafreshlu adaita d'hachi mafreshlu. So the Gemara says like this, if not for the fact that Rav Oshia established our Mishnah as talking about a case of what's called Mimana Zona Al Pisco. So let's say we know that there's a halacha, right? If, let's say, for example, a person is trying to hire out a prostitute for her services. So the halacha is, right, there's a din called Esnan Zona. If you give a woman, let's say, an animal for her services, so that animal can no longer be used as a karban. So the Gemara says, let's say, for example, a person, let's say, registered a zona, a prostitute, to partake of the karban paste. That's a little bit kind of a strange case. So the Gemara says, in that case, you still retain the rights to the animal. So in that case, the money, in other words, since the animal still partially belongs to you, the money that you designate for the karban can still be effective on the animal. But the Gemara says that there's actually even a simpler way to explain this case, which is to follow the famous opinion of Rabbi Yosia Galili. Rabbi Yosia Galili happens to hold that kachim kalim, karbanos of a lesser kedusha, actually belong to you. And a karban pesach is an example of kachim kalim. So according to Rabbi Yosia Galili, since you still have a partial stake in the animal, that's why the money can still take effect correct and can still have kedushin. Okay, then the Gemara says v'harebi umishum hachi mos shebi yadu chulin. This reflects the shita of Rebbe, and that's why the money remains chulin, because since you still have a stake in the animal, it still belongs to you. Uvemos vaday mishayer inish. And when it comes to money, a person still wants to retain his rights to the money, as opposed to the Karban Pesach, when you designate an animal as a karban, so you kind of relinquish all rights to that animal. Then the Gemara says v'ahid kamoki la Reb Oshia kerebi lo muk mina le'ana kerebi divefesach lo mishayer inish v'haleika la ukma kerebi Yosi. So the Gemara says that when it comes to the case of money, we said that a person does not want to relinquish their rights to the money. So he says, and this Gemara can follow the Shita of Reb Oshia, but not like Rebbe. He says, because according to Rebbe, even by the Karban Pesach, he says a person does not fully relinquish their rights to the animal. And on the other hand, you also can't establish this Gemara to follow Reb Yosi Galili, to Hataniba, the Hamocher Olasa Ushlam of Lawasa Veloklum, because the Gemara told us that if a person goes ahead and he sells an Ola or a Shlamim, it's a meaningless act. And remember, a shlamim is also kudshim kalim. So according to Rabbi Yosi HaGalili, that kudshim kalim belongs to you. So then presumably in the case where you sell the shlamim, that should be an effective sale. The fact that the Gemara says that it's not an effective sale would seem to go against the shita of Rabbi Yosi HaGalili. Okay.